turn to Romans chapter 10 again. And let me read these first, I think it's the first five verses mainly. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, where Paul wrote and said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record." Who? This Israel.
Yeah.
Right? "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth."
Yes.
Now, he is not the end of the law for righteousness to everyone, but only to everyone that believeth. "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." Now, for the past several weeks, I've had it broke up mainly into two different things. I talked about, first of all, man's religion's primary flaw. You remember what religion's primary flaw is? Is they have missed Christ.
Yeah.
Religion is so busy going about to establish their own righteousness, they've missed the righteousness of God. They've missed where it's really at. Religion thinks righteousness is worked up.
Yeah.
Righteousness, that is the righteousness God demands, is a person. Religion's primary flaw is that they miss Christ. And then we looked at the primary attribute of believing. And the primary attribute of believing, as Paul gives it in this text, I didn't say it's the only attribute, but it is the primary attribute, because everything that when God gives faith, it may begin with any certain doctrine from the Scripture. God gives faith, you're going to believe what God presents to you in His Word. But it's all designed to bring us to bow to Jesus Christ as our righteousness before God. Until a person is brought to that place, they have no right to claim to be a child of God. They may be a child of God, but we got no right till God brings us to bow to Jesus Christ as our righteousness. But now there is this third part here. Paul's primary concern for Israel. Now, what I have said thus far, that is in the past messages, I do pray and I hope that God has encouraged us in His truth. But there's more here still. I would personally feel negligent if I did not deal with the direct intent of Paul's words here. What I've preached to you is true. Okay?
Yeah.
What I've said about the primary flaw of religion, what I've said about the primary attribute of faith, is true of all religions. All religions miss Christ because they're so busy trying to establish their own righteousness before whatever God they believe exists. Doesn't matter. But in particular, especially Bible-based religions, they're so busy trying to keep the commands of the law or some ecclesiastical, some church rules, that they're missing Christ. The Scripture calls for God's people to bow down to Jesus Christ. But the context here is about who? Israel. Right?
Yes, sir.
Paul doesn't say, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the world is." Does he?
He doesn't say that. That's right.
He doesn't say, "My brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the church is." He doesn't say that either, does he? He doesn't even say, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for religious people is," does he? He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And the whole context, it just leads me to this. The whole context points out that at this time, when Paul wrote this, Israel was not saved.
Exactly.
Were they?
Exactly.
Because why? They were so busy going about to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Now, there's some things I'm going to try to give you here, and I don't think it's that complicated. There's some statements I'm going to make, and I don't think it's that complicated. I think the problem is there is so much disagreement from men in the Word of God that confuses the issue far too often.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, I've prefaced that. Now, let me say this. Paul here is not talking about the elect of this age. Paul is not talking about the elect of his day. Because he says of the elect of his day,
yeah.
Right? Turn to chapter 11. This is what he goes on to say about the elect of his day in chapter 11. I say then, because he's been talking mainly about who? Israel.
Yeah.
Right? And my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Why? Because they weren't.
Exactly.
They were so busy going about to establish their own righteousness, they had not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Right? So then he says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? I say then, and I read, let me try to read it properly. I say then, hath God cast away his people? In other words, is God done with the Jews? Is God done with Israel then? Because remember, Israel's not saved.
Exactly.
Right? Because my heart's desire and prayer for them is that they might be saved. Has God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about Hebrews.
That's right.
He's talking about Jews. He's talking about Israelites.
Yes, sir.
There is no need for, he's not being metaphoric. He's not being symbolic. He's not being figurative, is he?
Not
being. Has God cast away his people? God forbid. Is God done with the Jews? No. No, because I'm a Jew.
Amen.
I'm an Israelite. I'm of the seed of Abraham. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, we know that the seed of Abraham, spiritually speaking, is every elect person.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But just because a person is a Jew in this age doesn't mean they're a goner.
Exactly.
Because Israel, or the Jews, have rejected the Messiah. Have they not? Israel's not saved, are they?
No.
That's how he starts out, brethren. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Well, I thought God was saving Israel now. I thought we're the Israel of God. That's not what Paul said, is it? Huh. No. I am a branch grafted in. I'm a wild olive branch. Now, I'm not an apple branch.
Nope, that's right.
I'm an olive branch.
Yes, sir.
But I'm an olive branch that's a wild olive branch. I'm not of the part of the natural olive branches.
Exactly.
That's what he goes on to say.
Yep.
There's a connection here, but there's also a distinction you still have to keep intact.
Yes, sir.
God, verse 2, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Now he qualifies.
Amen.
Because there is a sense in which God has cast off Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
But he has not cast off the foreknown amidst Israel
exactly.
of this age.
Exactly.
That's the whole point. Go on down and look. It's not to say that Israel as a nation is not cast off. As a nation, they had been. Let me find the verse here. Verse 15. For if the casting away of them be. So how in what sense were they cast? They weren't. I thought he just said, has God cast away his people? Not the ones he foreknew.
Amen.
You see it? God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Watch ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying... Paul's basically saying Israel's the same today just like they was back in Elias' day.
Exactly.
They're still the same. They, as a nation, on a national scale, not just as a nation, but even on a national scale, the nation of Israel had rejected the Messiah. And they were rejecting the Messiah even back during that day.
Exactly.
Because Elias made an intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I'm left alone, and they seek my life. Now, yeah, there was some self-centeredness here. Because he thought, I'm all alone. But that's the whole point. You're not all alone. And let me tell you, God wasn't just dependent on Elias.
Yeah, exactly.
You see. Lord, look at the state of things. Paul's basically saying, the state of things is still the same today.
Yes, sir.
Right? But what does he say? My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is what? That they might be saved. Now, but what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men. I believe there were 7,000.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not 6,999. Not 7,001. I believe that when God uses a number, he has a reason to use the number, and it means what it says. Why 7,000? And people, well, it's seven. So they begin to read into this, all this stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that what men do? No, God says, I got 7,000. That means he had 7,000. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also. So what was Elias told? I still have my group. I still have my chosen.
Yes, sir.
I still have my elect. Even in Elias' day, there was what? Amongst the nation of Israel, there was the remnant that made up the elect of God unto salvation.
Amen.
Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. But wait a minute, I thought, everybody talking about Israel, spiritual Israel, and Israel this, and Israel that, and we're Israel. What does Paul say about Israel?
Yeah.
They ain't got what they seek for.
Exactly.
But who did get it? But the election hath obtained it.
Amen.
And the rest, that doesn't include any Gentiles. We're not talking about Gentiles here. We're talking about who? Jews, Israelites, Hebrews. And within that nation, an elect nation, yes. But that doesn't mean they were all elected to salvation. But within that nation is an elect remnant.
Yes, sir.
And let me go on to say, just jump ahead, that's the way it always is. And that's the way it will always be.
Amen.
There's not going to come an age when God's going to save every Jew just because they're a Jew.
You're right.
There's going to come a time again when God will turn himself toward the Jews, but it will be on a national scale. But it won't be every single Jew.
Exactly.
Why? Because he has already established the fact. Well, it's already been established.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's already established, been established from the Old Testament. Go back to chapter 9 now and look at it. Verse 27, Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea. What does it say? A remnant shall be saved.
Amen.
For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. Why? Because a short word. That's not talking about, it's not talking about short brevity wise. This is short number wise. The context here is numbers, right? The number is as the sand of the sea, but only a remnant.
Mm-hmm.
You see it? Shall be saved. Why? Because that's the way God purposed it.
Exactly.
Right? For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness because God decided to do a short work. Right?
Amen.
Because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been as Gomorrah.
Exactly.
So then, back to the point here. Israel had not been saved yet, had they?
Right.
Paul says so.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, is Paul saying, I hope My heart's desire and prayer to God for every single individual Jew is that they might be saved. Is that what he's saying? No. Paul knew better. This is not just, here's the 2 points. This is my heart's desire. Right? Now we can desire a lot of things that are not according to the Word of God. Right? For instance, Abraham desired that God would establish his covenant with Ishmael. Did he not?
Yes, sir.
He desired Ishmael's salvation. That's what he was wanting. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. He was alive before God physically.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted Ishmael to be alive before God spiritually. But you know what God said? No.
Amen.
No. He said, there's going to be one. It's going to be your seed. And he'll live before me. That's basically what God was saying. But not Ishmael.
Exactly.
There may well be people we desire to see saved, but it ain't God's sovereign purpose to save them.
Exactly.
Therefore, every prayer we utter for their salvation will never be to any avail. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
It's a fact of the truth of the Word of God.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. There are the elect out there.
Yes, sir.
Right? And when we pray for them, they will be saved. This is my heart's desire. But what else? My prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Why could he pray a prayer? We understand how he could feel that in his heart.
Oh yeah.
But why would he actually pray that to God?
Mm-hmm.
You know why he could pray that to God? Because God had purposed it. Not only had he purposed. Now, if God's purposed something, he don't necessarily have to tell us. You see what I'm saying?
That's exactly.
But not only did he purpose it, he promised it.
Amen.
In his word.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yep.
He purposed it, but then he told us about it in the form of promises.
Yes, sir.
Right? He's promised to do it. And God is faithful to do it.
Amen.
He's faithful to do what he's promised, because what he's promised, he's purposed to do. And God says, my purpose is what? Shall stand.
Amen.
And I will do all my pleasure. God is going, and I'm still saying that this way,
yeah,
even today, God is going to save Israel.
Amen.
But it won't be every Jew. It will be the remnant. It will be the elect among the Jews. But those Jews that are saved in that day will then constitute the nation.
Amen.
They will be the nation of Israel.
Exactly.
Now, remember, this is his inner desire. In other words, this is the actual state of a gospel preacher of Christ. Right? Brethren, my heart's desire. Now, if he just stopped there, brethren, my heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. We can say, well, a lot of us desire things we're never going to see. Right? And if that's all that he said, why would he then not say, well, but God is saving Israel today, isn't he? Huh? Isn't he? But here's the point. He's not saving them as Israel.
Exactly.
Joe just read it. That in Christ Jesus, and he's talking about right now today, there is what? Neither what? What's the first, yeah, the first distinct, or the first barrier that's broken down?
Yeah.
What's the first barrier he mentions? There is neither Jew nor Greek. So somebody said, well, but you're a Jew. No, I'm not a Jew. I'm not a natural olive branch. I'm a wild olive branch. You see? Now, who is a Jew? Well, everybody that's born of Abraham's loins is a Jew. But who is a Jew indeed?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You remember what our Lord said about, was it Nathanael?
Mm-hmm.
There is an Israelite indeed. Not in action. Indeed. I-N-D-E-E-D. One word. There's a true Israelite. What did Paul say here about true Jews? Verse 28 of chapter 2. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Now, is Paul denying their Jewishness? No. The context will give us the answer. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh.
Exactly.
But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. Now, I didn't say everybody that's inwardly circumcised is a Jew. If he said that, we would have said that everybody that's regenerated is a Jew. That's not what he said. He said, but he is a Jew, which is one, a Jew inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So God is still saving every Jew in this age that he purposed to save. But they are not constituted as Israel today, are they? Are they called Israel? No, Israel today is not saved, is it? Do you see the difference here? Now somebody, they run over to Galatians, and where he talks about, what is it? But in Galatians, what, the last chapter? Verse 16 of chapter 6, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. And it's true, but if you look at the context of what he's saying there, as opposed to what he's saying here, Paul never constitutes the believing Jews of today as being Israel, does he? He says in the Roman letter, every Jew who is an unbeliever is called Israel. Right? Yeah, you look at it, you won't find this default. Every Jew that is an unbeliever today is not constituted as Israel. Is an unbeliever today is constituted as Israel. They are then referred to, the others are referred to as what? As the elect. As natural branches who have not been broken off. Right? Now, they're still a part of the actual nation. They are the nation. But Israel is not constituted as Israel today. Israel is constituted as one new man, the church. You see, when I look at you and you look at me, and when we look at a Jew, we're not to consider them as Jewish or Gentile in Christ. We are what? One.
Amen.
You remember what our Lord said? He said, other sheep I have.
Yes, sir.
And they are actually this fold. Is that what he said? They in truth are this fold. No. He said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. So when any preacher stands up and tells you that you as a Gentile, being the elect of God, and God's regenerated and converted you, and that constitutes you as true spiritual Israel, he's lying to you.
Yeah.
Well, God's word doesn't say so. Our Lord said, we Gentiles were other sheep, and we were not of that fold. Right?
Yeah.
We were of a different fold.
Yeah.
Well, we're still a fold. And still sheep, but we're not of that fold.
Exactly.
Now, I'll take Christ's word over any man's word.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I'll tell you what, you'd best take Christ's word over any man's word. Yes, now, sir. Men can make this say anything they want it to say, but not by sticking to the context and the words written here. You see? When you say, well, but you just don't understand it right. No. No. This Bible's not all mixed up in the secret code. The problem's not with the words. The problem's in here.
Exactly.
This is spelled out clearly. It is God's revelation of himself and mankind, spelled out in black and white before us.
Yes, sir.
The problem's not the Bible needs to be decoded. We need a new heart.
Yes, sir.
And not only do we need a new heart, that heart has to be moved toward the truth itself.
Yes, sir.
Now, here's the thing. At this time, Paul's saying the elect, they're obtaining it. They're getting exactly what God ordained for Israel of this age. Right? The elect hath obtained it. The rest were blinded. According, back to 11 verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. So, is God going to leave Israel on a national scale? In a national way. Are they left there then? Are they left there? No, look at what it says. Let's go on. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. But look, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Was that the end goal then? Just that they fall. What does he say? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, what's he talking about their fall? They rejected the Christ of God, didn't they?
Yes, sir.
They had the promises, but they as a nation rejected the promises, the promised one, when he came. They fail. And what? They're diminishing. Now, if you look at it, their decay or their loss,
yeah.
You see. That's what it says in the middle. And that's a good dimension of them. Be the riches of the Gentiles. Then what does it say next?
Yeah.
How much more their fullness.
Amen.
For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. Look, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, he's talking about the same thing he just mentioned.
Yeah.
Right? Because of their fall and diminishing, salvation's come to you Gentiles.
Yes,
look,
sir.
For if the casting away of them, in what way were they cast away? Nationally.
Yeah.
Right? Now, yes, it's individually as well, but the whole point is they as a nation rejected the Messiah.
Exactly.
For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the, what's that say? Receiving be but life from the dead. Now, is Paul grasping at straws here?
Don't think so.
Is Paul, if God would just turn back to them, is that what he, is he just grasping? Is he doing like I would do for someone I care about, a family member, a cousin, or a brother, or a sister, or a spouse? And just, if God would just save them, they'd be okay. Is that what he's doing? Or is he making this statement based upon the promise of God? He's making this statement based upon the promise of God. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy.
Yes.
And it just, holy is put in there, but still, the lump also.
Mm-hmm.
And if the root, holy, so are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
Now some of the branches, he said, were broken off. But he said, you be careful. Don't be high-minded.
Exactly.
You stand by faith. You better fear God. Look at the severity that fell on those that disbelieved. That were in unbelief. They were broken off. You were grafted in. You stand by God's free sovereign pleasure.
Exactly.
Now the whole point, and I've got to come back now to the front. Back to this. Brethren, my heart's desire, prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. This is not simply, Paul is not saying my wish.
Yeah.
This is my heart's desire. And I'm actually praying to God for it. Right?
Sir.
That's what he said. This is my inner desire as a preacher of the gospel of Christ. And this is something I cry out to God about.
Yes, sir.
And Paul cried out to God about it because he had the word of God to base it upon.
Yes, sir.
What is his heart's desire and prayer to God about? He prayed to God from his heart that God would save Israel.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Is there anything more important to the heart and the mind and the soul? Salvation. And see, the whole point is here. The salvation Paul is crying out for Israel on a national scale was not simply a national salvation. It was a personal, individual salvation of a group of people who constitute the nation of Israel. Not only, he wasn't praying for them of his day. Why? Because he says those of this day, the remnant now today are what? They're being saved, doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
Actually, he puts it in the past tense,
exactly.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't that how he puts it? What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it.
Yes, sir.
Does that mean there were no more Jews left after this statement?
No.
A remnant for this day? No, but what's Paul saying? The elect are getting it now. Just like God purposed for them to have it now. But they're only getting what God purposed for them now.
That's it.
There's more to come later.
Yes, sir.
And why? Not because I say so. Not because that's the brand of doctrine I hold to. But because of thus saith the Lord. Now here's the point for us today. If God purpose something, And then he promises it. Are we in any way to think that somehow God will not directly reveal to us what the purpose is through the promise? That is, if God purposed to do this thing, will God not say, I'm going to do this thing? Would God say, I'm going to do that thing, but what it really meant was God was going to do this thing? Do you see what I'm saying? Or if God said, I'm going to do this thing, but what it really meant was God was going to do that thing. Would that be any comfort to you?
Not really.
Huh? If God told Israel, this is what I'm going to do, but it meant that.
Yeah.
Or that's what I'm going to do, but it means this. Then what about what God tells us he's going to do for us?
Exactly.
Maybe this means that. Maybe that means this.
Yeah.
What do we know what God means? We know what God means because he's given it to us.
Exactly.
Right here. And you don't have to have me to interpret it for you. What you need me to do is just tell you what it says right here.
Yeah.
You know? And not it's not leaving it up to you to figure out what it is. It's right here. It don't need to be figured out. It needs to be believed.
Amen.
Bowed down to. We're not in a math test here.
Exactly.
This is not a literature contest. This is not to find out who is best able to dig the truth out from among all these words. These words are the truth. They mean what they say. And if God speaks in a metaphor, he'll let us know I'm speaking in a metaphor.
Yes, sir.
It will be stated so.
Yeah.
He'll let us know. You know. For instance, someone says, but all of those sacrifices, we know that wasn't the way. This was that. No. This pointed to that.
Yeah.
He didn't promise this and then give that. He didn't promise that and then give this. He says this points to that. Or he said, that, Joe, points to this. Didn't he?
Yeah.
Just like some people say. They say, well, the law is a shadow of good things to come. No, it's not. No. No. The law containing a shadow of good things to come.
Yeah.
Those things that were shadows were the sacrifices, the tabernacle, the clothing. The apparatuses of the worship of God in the sacrifices, those were the metaphors, the figures, and the type. But when God says, love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, he meant exactly that. When he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, he didn't say, I'm going to change it now to the first day of the week.
That's exactly right.
Did he? No. The law contains a shadow. It's having a shadow. The law is not a shadow. And let me tell you, there are, if you dwell on shadows and symbols, then you will be totally confused concerning the Word of God.
Yeah.
And you can end up making it mean whatever you want it to mean. You can make it mean, because who determines where the points are? Who determines how far you can go? Who determines where you start?
Yeah.
Some of us don't see it that way. Well, what else about God's Word don't you see it that way?
Yeah.
You know? When it says, Joe, you, I'm using this, what you, or God hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, him, being made a curse. Well, he wasn't really made a curse. Don't we believe that means what it says?
Yes, sir.
Then why is it we come to some passages that don't really mean what it says? It's metaphor, it's symbol, it's type. Paul said, my heart's desire. Right now, even though there's a remnant today that's obtaining, I'll put it this way, that's obtaining it, right? They're getting today exactly what God purposed for the elect of this day. They're getting it, but the rest haven't. But he said, I'm praying for them. Now, is he praying for that individual that's broken off and dies and goes to hell? No. He's talking about that remnant. One day when God will turn himself back to the Jews and will save them on a national scale. Not just save them nationally, but save them on a national scale. Here's my time's gone. Here's five things. And I don't have, there's no way I got. Well, I want to give you scripture for these things. Let me give them to you, and then God willing, we'll have to start there next time. Think about these five things. Paul's not praying for Israel's national status as a nation. Is he?
No. You're right.
He's not praying for Israel's national status as a nation, but God promised it would be reconstituted.
Yes, sir.
We'll see that in Isaiah 11, verses 10 through 16.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see that. Secondly, Paul's not praying for Canaan's rehabilitation by Israel. Is he? That's not what he's praying for. Canaan's rehabilitation by Israel. But we see that is promised, Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 through 5. Paul's not praying, thirdly, Paul's not praying for reigning with Christ on this earth, is he? My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might reign on this earth with Christ. Is that what he prayed for? No, that they might be saved. But I tell you what, according to Revelations 5, 8 through 10, Revelations 3, 21 through 22, 1 Corinthians 4, 7 through 8, we shall reign with Christ Amen. On this earth. Fourthly, Paul, his acknowledging of their erring zeal and his exposing of their refusal to bow to Christ did not negate his desire for them, did it? And you look at chapter 11, that's what he warns us. Be careful. Don't be negative against those that's broken off right now today. Yes, there are some that are being broken off right now today, but they will be, not those individuals maybe, because they're all dead and gone. And if they died in that unbelief, they went to hell. But there will come a time when there will be an elect group of Jews, elect group of Israelites, and God Almighty will graft them back into the olive tree. He says Amen. He's going to do it even in the New Testament.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's Romans 11, verses 24 through 32. Fifthly, the truth of God's sovereign, unchanging promises drove Paul where it ought to drive us for any and all desires for salvation. To God. Right? To God. And it's to God based upon what? This. The Word of God. Not an interpretation of it. Not a scheme of it. But the clear, precise promises of God as they are recorded in the Word of God. Because I'm going to give it to you one more time. When God says, I'll do this, if God meant He'll do that, how do we depend upon anything?
Exactly.
You just tell me.
That's it.
Well, we know this is it. This, what's in the New Testament, you can really take it. No, no. That ain't the way people interpret it today, is it? They'll get to parts of the New Testament, and it's still symbolic. And they'll say, this means that, and that means this. Now, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
I'm here to tell you this means this, and that means that. And that's just the way it is. Now, I can't make you approach God's Word that way. I can't do it. Therefore, if there are those who disagree with what I'll say from this book, that's your problem. I say that to everybody here. I'm not being mean. I'm saying, that's your problem. Because if you just think, I just don't get it, well then maybe you don't get it either.
Yeah.
Who's made you to differ?
Yeah.
What of you that you have not received?
Exactly.
You think you're reigning already. I wish you did so that I could reign with you.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, that rings a bell, don't it? Mm-hmm. Don't it? Wait a minute, 1 Corinthians, that rings a bell. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at it. Verse 6. These things, brethren, I have in a figure. Okay, in a figure. Paul, even Paul would tell us when we use a figure. He says an allegory I use.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because he's not trying to. There's no secret decoding to this.
No.
Is it? Right. I've transferred in a figure, transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up one for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou hast received it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Now are ye full, now are ye rich, ye have reigned as kings without us. The Corinthians thought, we're in, we've got it.
Yeah.
This is it. This is what it's supposed to be. Now, if Paul just said, no, we reign spiritually, wouldn't that have what he would said here?
Yeah.
If the reign is just a spiritual, inward reign, wouldn't that be what he said? Wouldn't it have been the excellent place? It would have had to be.
Yes, sir.
Right? But look at what he says. Now are you full. Now are you rich. You have reigned as kings without us. I would to God that you did reign, that we also might reign with you. Why? Because one day we're going to.
Yes, sir.
But we ain't right now.
Exactly.
Huh? Are we?
Mm-hmm.
So again, those five things. See, the whole point is this. If God's not faithful to Israel as he promised this being this, how can we rest assured that God will be faithful to us when he promises this for this?
Exactly.
Tell me how.
Exactly. That's it.
Well, God means what he says now. God, this means this now. Right? Huh? No, this always means this. That always means that. If God says, I'm going to do something, he's going to do something. And he tells us, so that we can trust him, Joe, he tells us what it is. So that when it does happen, Mason, we can say, God did what he said he would do. So when the next thing comes along, God says, I'll do this. What can we say? When this happens, we can say what? God did this.
Amen.
And if God meant to do that, you know what he's going to tell us? I'm going to do that.
Exactly.
Won't he? You see, all of this doesn't just have to do with doctrine. This ain't just about where you stand on eschatology. This has to do with the purpose of God. What did God really purpose?
Yep.
And if he purposed it and wrote it down in this book, then he's promised it.
Yes, sir.
And if he don't fulfill it like he promised it, how are we to trust anything?
Exactly.
You tell me. Tell me otherwise. Because I just have to take God at his word.
Yes, sir.
Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
I believe God says what he means and means what he says. Father, I pray as we part our ways, and I pray for those who weren't able to be here today, who desired to be here, but for whatever hindering cause or reason, Lord, that you comfort them and comfort us as well. We're blessed by you, your grace, and your presence. And Lord, this calls us to worship you, to bow to you, and to be mindful and thoughtful and prayerful for one another. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.